Hey everybody, welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans and I'm your transformation coach and health strategist. And today I want to talk to you about a special edition of living at the top 1%. And so here I'm talking about health, firstly. I'm talking about wealth. I'm talking about how you grow as a person, relationship-wise, and all that kind of stuff. Because I think we get so caught up in what it is that we're doing on a daily basis that we don't necessarily stop and take a step back and say, well, am I heading in the right direction? What am I actually aiming for? And what's the gap between where I want to get to and where I am now? And look, to be honest, any successful person would tell you, even your billionaires, I'm sure Jeff Bezos doesn't sit there and say, okay, I'm aiming for a trillion. When he's sitting in, I don't even know what he's sitting at, or Elon Musk is sitting at $198 billion or whatever, and say, well, I've got to get to a quarter of a trillion dollars. They don't think about that because they're just focusing on how do they make a greater impact. They have more money than they're ever going to be able to spend anyway. And a lot of the way that these numbers are calculated is based on kind of like the market value or the perceived market value of the assets that these people own that are publicly known. So like they're like your SpaceX and Tesla and Amazon and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't, no billionaire is going to reveal what their personal bank account holds or any of that kind of stuff. But anyway, we can live with the principles of some of these people. They're not all great examples, but I'm going to give you an inside look as to how I do it. And so I'm going to start with your health and wellness to start with. I think this needs to be where everybody puts their number one focus. I don't care who you are in the world, what level of success that you've had. If you do not put your focus as number one into this, at some point you're going to be dead. It's just a question of, if you neglect it, you're going to be dead sooner than later, and you're not going to be able to enjoy all these other things in your life and the people and the experiences and so forth. So that's why I believe it needs to be number one. So my personal goal is that, so I'm 50, turning 56 in August this year. I want to make sure that I am strong from a physical perspective. I want to make sure that I'm strong. I want to make sure that I am pain-free. Like in my joints and so forth, because as we age, they tend to become more painful, more risk of osteoarthritis or just rheumatoid arthritis. And so just more aches and pains from the wear and tear that we've had. I've had three surgeries on my shoulders to fix them up. And I've had a couple of years ago, I had a surgery on my left knee, pardon me, to help remove a niggling injury, because my goal was, I love my workouts. I want to do my strength workouts. I want to be able to lift heavy, but I want to be able to do those pain-free. And I want to be able to do anything that I want to do, I want that to be pain-free as well. So that's really important to me. Pardon me. So I have a lot of clients that come to me that are younger than me and older than me and the same age. They're in way too much pain. You know, we shouldn't be in that much functional pain, but people just put up with it. And sometimes it's just because of the accumulation of weight and just lifestyle choices that have caused those issues for people. So for me, that's a big one, being pain-free, being energized. Aesthetically, I want to make sure that my body fat is kept low, and so that I always look good. And so if I want to trim down by a couple of kilos, maybe 2 to 3 kilos, to get to that, if you like, fitness magazine six-pack look, then I can. That's not where I live most of my life. I will probably be carrying around, like I say, that extra maybe 2 to 3 kilos, which would be the difference between a really sharp six-pack and just a smooth six-pack, if that makes sense. So that's important to me as well. I want to keep loving what it is that I do. So in terms of my training and so forth, so that means that I do need to innovate. It means that I've got to keep my programs fresh. It means that I've got to track everything that I do. I want to be getting stronger. I want to be engaged in what it is that I'm doing. I need to see that progress, feel it. And it's great for my mental health as well, because I know that I'm making progress. Now, when it comes to the cardiovascular side of my workouts, the thing that I do is, it's important to find what you love to do. So for me personally, I love walking. I find that that's good for my joints. I've done cycling over time. I've done it on the stationary bike. I've done it on a trainer. I have done it out on the road. I still have a push bike. I don't have like a road bike anymore. I sold that because it was just too dangerous. We don't have great bike paths around here where you can ride at pace. You know, like I'm talking 30 plus kilometers an hour, because it's just like there's too much traffic and stuff on there. And if you do it on the road, I just found it was too dangerous and I was almost getting knocked off every time I'd go out. So I thought, nah, it's not worth it. So I sold the bike. I don't do that anymore. And that started to have an impact on my knee prior to me having the clean out of it. And now if I do those things, or if I do, say, the cross trainer, I do those really fast, then it does play up with my my joints. I don't like that. But if I'm out walking, it doesn't cause me the issues. And I like to get out and, like, if I travel around the place for work and stuff, I go up to Sydney, I like to walk around the Sydney Harbour. I like to just walk around my own neighbourhood and stuff. It's just good to get the sun on your face and just get out in nature. So that's what I do from a cardiovascular perspective. I aim to get around the 10,000. I probably average between the 8,000 to the 10,000 steps a day. Sometimes it's more on the weekends and stuff, but that's what I aim to do. And then when it comes to the food side of things, well, for me, it's sticking to principles. And it doesn't mean that I don't have the odd, piece of pizza or something like that, but I stick to the principles of 5 to 6 meals a day, and I want to make sure that I'm getting the right amount of protein in for me. The way that I do it personally, I do it every single meal. I don't necessarily program my clients exactly the way that I do it, because it's harder, requires more focus, and I do 3 levels of meal plans with my clients, and most people are on a sort of level 1. I live at level 3, which has more focus. And for those clients that want to take things to that next level, then I will move them up to level 2 and level 3. But it's not for everybody. So for me personally, I make sure I get the right amount of protein in with every single meal. I make sure I get plant-based food, whether it be some frozen fruit or something like that, in with my smoothies. And I'll make sure that I get in some omega-3 fats with every meal too. So that's either comes in the form for me of a fish oil or flax products. So flax meal I'll add to my smoothies or sprinkle on some food and that kind of stuff. So I do that with every single meal. And then for me personally, I have those high energy carbohydrates, which is rice, pasta, potatoes, breads, those sorts of things. When I'm in a maintenance phase, I only have those for breakfast, lunch and dinner. When I'm more wanting to achieve that cut down a couple of kilos, perhaps to remove some body fat, then I will move to only having those high energy carbohydrates around my workouts within a 3-hour sort of metabolic window, we call it. And so I do that, and that works really well for my body. So that's not for everybody though. So when I program people, I say, put in those high energy carbs, measured portions for breakfast, lunch and dinner. So for me, I stick to those principles for the whole of my life, right? That's just what I do. And then every now and then I might have a treat. Like I said, I think the wedding I'm going to, they're having pizza for the wedding. So I'll be having some pizza there and I can have it guilt-free. If you've got a high degree of focus around what it is that you are eating, the nutrients that you're putting into your body, and I always ask myself the question, is this moving me closer to where it is that I want to get to, or is it taking me further away from it? And so what's going to make you make the better choices more frequently is having that big picture view of what it is that you want for your health and wellness, what it is that you want for your life. For me, I want to live in the top 1% of health for my age. And that means following principles like I've just said. The strength workouts, the cardio workouts, the making sure that I've got that holistic plan around my food that works for me. And so I do 3 strength workouts a week. I do the walking. I aim for 10,000 steps every single day. I do, obviously, the food every single day as well. And I have the odd, you could throw in for you if you like. I would say throw in, say, three meals where you eat whatever you like through the week, but make sure that you're keeping up with your 5 to 6 healthy, nutritious meals at the other times. Water is another one that's really important for me. I have around 3 liters of water a day. That just really helps me. I take some supplements. Probably the most frequent one I take is my whey protein. Find a good quality 100% whey protein. It's very good for pre-workout, post-workout. I have them in my smoothies as well. Tastes good, easy to digest, quick digesting for to get more protein into your body, because most people aren't consuming enough of that to support their workouts. And I'll take some fish oil, as I said. I'll take a vitamin D tablet. I'll take a multivitamin. I take a magnesium tablet as well. So those things just really help me. The magnesium is to help with cramps and so forth at night, particularly after a big leg day. I can find that can happen for me some of the time. And then probably the one of the last ones is to do with the mindset. I've got to talk about wealth as well. But let me talk about the mindset first. I have this continuous growth mindset. So it doesn't matter where I am, like in my life, I'm always thinking, how do I become better? How do I create that best version of myself? How can I be better today than I was yesterday? What can I learn from yesterday or today to make tomorrow better? I write down a lot of things. I just use the Apple Notes on my phone, so it doesn't matter where I am, which device I'm on, they're all linked, and I can just capture points and action points and keep on moving myself forward. To me, that's really, really important. I have this growth mindset. I just want to get better. I study successful people. I'm reading widely. I read newspapers, mainly online. I read the Wall Street Journal. I read Forbes. I look at like my industry magazines and publications to look there as well. I look at some local news online to see what's just going on in my local area. And then I'll read some books of specific natures of things where I want to get better. So right now I'm looking at some that are around customer service wow experiences and looking at these amazing experiences that are provided at like Starbucks, Disney, Mercedes, the Ritz-Carlton, looking at all of those and saying, how can I learn from all that and take that into my own business? And so I'm looking at that as well. That's really important for my state of mind. I'm always looking at how do I create new programs for my clients, or what can I do to create some new programs for my clients? Keep it interesting for them, keeps it interesting for me as well as a coach. Making sure that I'm getting the best out of people, engaging them, keeping them really inspired with what it is that they're doing on their health and wellness goals and on their fitness journey, which is why I have clients for over 10 years. So that's really exciting. And so then the last one that I'll talk about is to do with the wealth creation. So me personally, I'm not the sort of person that wants to sit there and watch the stock market every single day and do that kind of stuff. Where most of my wealth creation is in real estate and in shares. And I tend to go with the approach of I invest in managed funds. And this will not be for everybody, and don't just follow exactly what I'm telling you to do. You need to get your own financial advice. I'm just telling you just to where my mindset is at. When I was younger, of course, you don't have any money, right? You've got all these big ideas, you want to do things, but you have no money. And so one of the things that I realized by watching the pain of what my parents went through was that I didn't want to be in that situation. I wanted to be financially free, I wanted to be independent, and I wanted to build my own wealth creation strategy. And so I learned that from a really young age. And so we have superannuation here, I think, in the US, what's it called? The 4K or something like that. 41K, 4K, something like that. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And so you've got a lot of tax benefits there. So by the time you retire, so I'm 56 now, so you can start to access your superannuation by the time you are 60. And the idea is that you become a self-funded a retiree, if you like. Now, I'll keep working because I just love what it is that I do. But then there's tax benefits from having all this invested money with, you know, our tax rate here is 15% on your superannuation. But if you use it effectively upon retirement, it's tax-free. So obviously that is quite powerful as well. And so I invest more in managed funds rather than say, all right, I'm going to invest in this blue chip one, this one, this one, this one. I'm going to watch it each day and then I'll invest more today. I'll sell some off here and that sort of stuff. I don't do that because in some ways I just want to invest regularly. I want to set it and forget it. For me personally, I've been invested in property before and invested in shares for a long, long time now. And for me, I found that, so when I got divorced, for instance, the money to come through from the shares, from the sale of the shares, came through within a couple of days. The real estate took about 6 months. And some took way longer than that. I think it took over 12 months because the fund had to sell the property and then distribute it and all that kind of stuff. So for me, the convenience, I mean, you can't sell off just a couple of rooms of your house, but you can sell off, you know, a portion of your share portfolio to achieve what it is that you want. So anyway, that's just my approach. Whatever your approach is, it's about being consistent and about having a strategy so that you just get better, you create more wealth, but it's the habit of all of these things, of what you're doing, that's really important. So they're my tips for living the top 1% life that you can. Go out there, do it, be consistent. I know I've said a lot here. Pick one of the areas where you're a little bit down and see how can you make some improvements there right now. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.